Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
Okay, then. Here we are. Thunder and Lightning postgame live from my kitchen. This is, technically the dining room is where I'm at. But thanks for joining me here. Thunder and Lightning postgame live here on YouTube, presented by Paul Davis Restoration and Stones Jewelers. What is going on with my computer now? We're just having all sorts of issues tonight. It's not just Mississippi State. It's not just the offensive line. It's here too. When disaster strikes, you need a name you can trust. Paul Davis Restoration is here to help you recover from water, fire, mold, and storm damage 24/7. Their expert team provides fast professional service to restore your home or business to its original condition. But they don't stop at just restoration. They offer property improvement services to make your space better than ever. Paul Davis Restoration, because your recovery and property improvement are their priorities. Call them at 662-769-7285. Let them bring your property back to life. If you're in the Golden Triangle, if you're in Tupelo, call Paul Davis Restoration. I was told that it does not help if you are in College Station. Paul Davis Restoration is of no help to you on this fine evening. 31-9 is the final score from College Station. A lot to talk about, a lot to unravel with this particular game. We'll start, obviously, on the injury front. I'm asking the same question you guys are as well. Like, I don't understand why at that point in the game your starters are still in and you have to go through that. I don't know the thought process there. I don't understand why you are going to not redshirt Kamario Taylor, but then you're not going to play him either. I mean, he was going to get one play tonight, and that play they had a false start and they pulled him off the field. So that's awful. I don't quite understand there. And then the offensive line, I mean, we knew when Albert Reese wasn't going to play, it was going to be a tough night, but there's just nothing you can do when you can't block. And it's not that Chapin played particularly well and we can just put everything on the offensive line. That's certainly not going to be, you know, where we go with that. But how many times tonight did he just have no time to throw the football? And so that's what you get this. And I've got to be honest, I thought, you know, defensively, I mean, State gives up 31 points, almost 500 yards, but that's if you watch, it's one of those things where if you watch the game, you know that that isn't indicative of how the defense performed. So, Bailey Hargrave, what's your take on the disparity between the NIL, hard for State to compete with TAMU's depth, both on the bench and in the pocketbook? What's Tennessee's NIL? What are we talking about here? We're not going to blame this game on NIL. NIL isn't the reason State lost this game. I mean, I guess you could say because they don't have enough players, but that's not just a money thing. That's a recruiting thing. That's a, you know, you've had your previous two coaches to Lebby didn't do a good job enough of recruiting, and now you're digging out of a big hole. I'm not going to sit here and try to say that it's just a money thing for that. You saw my daughter. She just walked by. Or one of them anyway. I'm half waiting on the other one. She's out. She might come home, and if she does, she'll make a scene. Just go ahead and get ready for that. We're not going to play we're not going to blame the NIL game. What I am going to say is this, and this is three head coaches in a row now. I guess I shouldn't say three in a row because Arnett was a defensive guy, but with Moorhead, with Leach, and now with Lebby, it's like, what is it about Starkville that offensive coaches come in here and the offense just, it doesn't seem, I don't hire a Jeff Lebby to have a night where you have less than 200 yards of total offense and 9 points. You know, the thing we said when Lebby was hired and in year one was, hey, they're going to have some games where they lose the shootouts. Where are those? You know, this was not a shootout in any sense of the word. Good night, sweetie. Love you. It just doesn't, you know, I don't understand why that. What was Levy supposed to do to help us score more points, Adad? Is that a real question? Like, you gotta find a way to make it happen, man. You can't just sit there and throw your hands up in the air and go say, oh, well, we're not good enough on the offensive line tonight, so we're just not going to score. You can't do that. And I mean, what he gets paid $4 million a year to score points, to figure it out. That's his job. That's what his job is to score points and to get this offense going. They got to do something. You can't just throw your hands in the air and say, well, I guess we're not going to be able to do anything tonight. If that's the case, don't get on the plane. Stay home. Ugh, we're off to a good start on this one tonight. You know, defensively, State played pretty well. They just ran out of gas there at the end. I mean, when you're on the field for as long as they were, State, what was the stat? The only play State had at one point in the second half that was in A&M territory was the interception, which is, that's one of those missed opportunities in that if he has time to throw, and he doesn't need much more time. He only needs maybe another second to get the clean pocket and get everything off. There's probably going to be a touchdown. I mean, he's got the guy open down the field. If he can connect, it's going to be a touchdown. But that's just where it is. And I thought State got away from the run earlier than they probably should have. I thought Booth and Bothwell were both really good tonight. You know, sack adjusted yardage tonight. They combined for over 100 yards on 22 carries. Nothing wrong with that. You know, didn't understand the Ricky Johnson. I forgot about the Ricky Johnson running play. Like, that's another one of those things we're talking about with Levy, where it's just like sometimes he just calls a play and you're like, why that play? What are we seeing there? And I'm not saying that, you know, you got to go back to being like a wishbone team, but the thing I said, if you go back and listen to Thunder and Lightning back in the summer, I said, I think this should be a run heavy team. I think that they have an offensive line who can run block, but I don't know how they'll be in pass protection. And I think that you've got talented backs and you should use them. And for whatever reason, you know, there's this disconnect there where they're just not as run heavy as you think they should be. And tonight, 31 runs, I shouldn't say 31 runs because Shapen was sacked 4 times. So there's 27 runs, 20 passes. I mean, in reality, now granted, first and foremost, you had 31 running plays. You only had 51 plays in the game. That's not enough. All right. That's your first and foremost problem. But it really should be more 65-35 run to pass. And so I don't know if that's what they're going to be able to do. I mean, now you look at it, and I have to assume that Fluff Bothwell is going to be out for a certain period of time at the very minimum. We were talking about it here. How many times has the guy gotten carted off and then been back a week later? That doesn't seem very good situation there. Albert Reese, you hope he can be back next week. Isaac Smith, you hope he can be back next week. But I don't know. You know, did you go back to get more from Xavier Gayton, who, you know, I thought played well against Alcorn, and then you haven't seen him since, and just hasn't done anything. Didn't play well against Northern Illinois as well. So Fluff probably out for the season. Let's just be honest. He was taken off on a cart. That's usually a sign that you're not going to play the rest of the way. What is this team going to be now? You know, they come into the bye week that they really need. They need it this bye week right now. You would have liked to have gotten out of this a little more unscathed, but you can't. But you didn't. And for me, I just, you know, I think a lot of people are going to immediately kind of revert back. Okay, they're in real trouble. This, you know, they're 4-8. And, you know, that was my prediction coming into the season was 4-8. I didn't think they'd win the Arizona State game. So they're, you know, they're ahead of where I thought they'd be. I still think that they can, they can find their way to a bowl game. But this is the kind of loss that shakes people. When you go out and you have a coach who was hired because he's supposed to be this explosive offense guy, and in year two, you have 219 yards and you have 9 points. That's not getting it done. And now you've lost 10 straight SEC games for him and 14 straight as a program. That's not where you want it to be at this point. You know, again, I would feel somewhat, it's weird, right? I would feel so much better if State had lost this game like 45-28 or something like that. You know, it could have been the same margin. So what is it, 20, do the math, guys, 22 points. If they lost 47-24, you feel a lot better because you're like, oh, they're just not good enough defensively. Where you would have been in the same spot you were last year. And you got to give Coleman Hutzler just a ton of credit. He has done a good job. His defense played good enough for this team to win tonight. They absolutely did. And Ryan Pace is correct. You are correct, Ryan. 4-2 going into the bye week prior to the season, everybody would have been like, take it. We'll take it. You're correct. There's no getting around that. But at the same time, you know, when you break it down game by game, coming out of, if I say they're 4-2, but they played this game and you lose Fluff Bothwell probably for the season. And, you know, it's one of those things where I talk about, like, yeah, if you get new information, you're allowed to change your mind. You're right. I would have taken 4-2, but coming off of that, that's a tough pill to swallow for Mississippi State. And now they go into an off week, and they got to get right. They need to take this off week to do as much as they can to figure out what they're going to be the rest of the season. What do they want this offense to be? What do they want this team to look like? They've got to figure that out. They've got to find a way to take the players that they have and find a way to be successful. And I think Jeff Libby is capable of that. I want to make that really clear. I think he's absolutely capable of figuring that out. And I don't think it was necessarily, you know, that the loss from last week hurt them or anything. What we talked about during the show was that, you know, Levy is able to get his teams to look forward. You know, they had that great second drive. I thought Booth was going to score there. I thought I would have bet my house on if they don't have the false start and they snap it to Kamario Taylor, he's probably going to score there. I would bet almost anything. And I want to say that this is one of those things, we're talking about a pet peeve of mine. It's third and goal from the two. All right, line up and snap the ball. That is just a pet peeve of mine. Just line up and snap the ball. There's no need to do motion. There's no need if they jump, you get a yard. Just snap the ball to Kamario Taylor. Let him dive into the line, and you're going to score a touchdown there. And it's 7-0. And does that make it a different game? I don't think so. You probably still lose. You probably lose 31-16 or something like that. Man, that's one of Brian's pet peeves, if I'm allowed to have one there. Just a really rough game. There's not a lot of positive you can take away from this. Other than that it's over and that you hope that you can go into next, you know, this bye week, get a little healthier, bring Albert Reese back, bring back Isaac Smith, get everybody who's banged up, you know, a little bit of rest and recovery and move forward and have a chance to get to a bowl game this season. Still very winnable games left, right? When you look at the schedule, I know Florida played well today, but that's still a winnable game. Texas is obviously a winnable game. Arkansas is a winnable game. You've got games you can win. I see Sam saying it's going to be so tough that Florida, that offense clicked today. Did it click or is Texas just not very good? They scored 29 points. They played all right. I wouldn't say that they were dominant or anything like that. Charles Phillips says, hard to admit we're headed for the same old, same old. I don't know if that's the case. this was a bad game. But, I mean, in 2017, State went to Georgia and Auburn and got blown off the field and still won nine games. And in 2014, you have bad games sometimes. 2015, you have bad games sometimes. So what's my record prediction now? I'm going to stay at 6-6. I still think this team will find a way to win two more games, but that is very much on Lebby figuring out what he's able to do with this offense with the players that he has. You can't just call plays the way you want to call them, you know, if you had a team of All-Americans. You have to look at it and go, this is what I have. I gotta make this work. So we'll see. TJ Carter, sometimes a better team just beats you. Yeah. I mean, in some ways, TJ, that is what happened tonight. But in some other ways, Mississippi State did do a little bit of beating themselves. They made a ton of mistakes. And I didn't like what they did offensively. I didn't like the game plan. It should have been run heavier. They know they can't protect Shapen. And here's the other thing about Shapen that I think we just have to understand and accept at this point, because we keep talking about, like, he's got to get the ball out faster. He's got to get the ball out faster. He's not going to get the ball out faster. This is just what he is. All right. He is going to hold the ball. So if he's going to be that guy, you got to tune your offense to that, because he's not going to just be the guy who in week seven of the regular season turns into the guy who gets rid of the ball quickly. Because that's just not what he is. Do you think we win more games with Shapen than Kamario this year? I don't know that Kamario Taylor would have won the Arizona State game. I cannot look you in the eye and say for a fact that that would have happened. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, again, and this is one of those things that makes me laugh, that I spent the whole week like pumping up Shapen, like, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. And then he goes out and he has one of his worst games. But at the end of the day, State's 4-2. They're not changing quarterbacks. They're not changing quarterbacks. I can't make it any simpler than that. Unless Shapen gets hurt, he's going to be the starting quarterback. So if you're coming to the discussion with, well, if they would just change, they're not going to change. So just don't waste my time. That's what you're doing. You're just wasting your own time. If you start the discussion with if they change quarterbacks, they're not going to. I will, but again, but at the same time, this, you know, two things can be true at once. They've got to find more ways to get Kamario Taylor involved. All right. You just got to, at some point, just say, F it. I'm going to give Kamario Taylor this series, or it's 2nd and 6. Kamario, get in there, run this play. Kamario, we're going to give you a passing play. You have to do that at some point. You cannot just sit there and let him have one or two plays per game. That's not worth what we're doing here. You got to find more plays for him to do that. Do they expect Albert Reese back for Florida? I don't know if they expect him back or not. I know that he was... Early in the week, they thought maybe he could play, but they decided to wait. Don't we have another quarterback named Luke? Luke Krummenhawk? I mean, obviously, Camario's gotten ahead of him, so he's your number three quarterback. He's not going to play. Chandler Hodges, same thing we did with Mike Wright. They brought him from one play, and everybody knows what's coming. There's a difference, though, in that the play they're giving to Kamario, they can, it's just easier, right? Like, they would bring Mike Wright in and he would fake a handoff and that allowed the, with Kamario, it's just go straight ahead. And so it's working. Is Luke taking the Whittemore approach? Luke Krummenhawk? No, he's been beat out. He's the third stringer. So I think Johnny Daniels has taken the Creed Whittemore approach. I don't know that for a fact, but I mean, the fact that he's not playing at all, but State's only really using two running backs. I mean, look at State tonight. Who had carries? Fluff, Devon Booth, and then two receivers. That's it. No Xavier Gate, no Johnny Daniels, no Seth Davis, nothing. If we can't pass protect, what is the answer? I don't have the answer. I don't know what the answer is. But right now State can't pass protect. That is a huge issue. You know, somebody mentioned, I saw a comment a few minutes ago talking about if State had Charles Cross, they might be 6-0. I don't know if they'd be 6-0. They would have beaten Tennessee though, because the left tackle play killed them in that game. This game, I don't know. So we'll see. All right, let's do. I know you guys are, but Sam, you got to stop with the Ole Miss stuff. You just got to live outside that bubble, man. It's the second time you've mentioned them. It is what it is. All right. Kiffin is an elite coach. He's in his sixth year. He's put together a great roster. If they have success, they have success. You know, that's not where Mississippi State is right now. They've got to get better. They've got to get back to that level. They can, but you say it's tough to watch them. Don't watch them then. I can make it super easy for you. Don't watch them. Just don't watch their games. Simple as that. All right, let's do a diamond of the game brought to you by Stones Jewelers. Since 1976, Stones Jewelry has been the trusted name for exquisite, one-of-a-kind pieces. Whether it's a stunning engagement ring, a timeless watch, or a custom-designed necklace, their expert jewelers will help you find something as unique as the person you're celebrating. Stop by and see their beautiful collection at 709 West Main Street at Stones Jewelry, downtown Tupelo. You'll find the perfect piece to make any moment special. When you think of jewelry, think of Stones. The holidays are almost here, guys. We're only about a couple of months away, and you better go ahead and get your shopping done. And I would suggest, if you've got that special someone, a trip to Stones Jewelers is the way to go. We got to go defense for our jewel of the game, for our diamond of the game, in my opinion. I'm going to go with, remember last year when we would have Isaac Smith would be the leading tackler, and you're like, you don't want to have a safety be your leading tackler? Well, it is what it is. But Jerron Manning had 13 tackles tonight. We'll go with him. Six solo tackles to go with seven assisted ones. He's been a good player for State this year. I thought State's linebackers were really good in this, and then the tackle numbers kind of bear that out. Jalen Smith with seven tackles, Nick Mitchell with seven, Tyler Lockhart, another good game for him with six tackles. Tony Mitchell had five tackles playing for in Isaac Smith's place. Zachary Tillman, four tackles, including a half tackle for loss. State's linebackers were pretty good in this game. State, again, defensively, State was fine in this game. They were fine. They ran out of gas at the end. There's just not a whole lot you can do there, but it is what it is. But I'll give our Stones Jewelry diamond of the game to Jerron Manning. Chris Lockhart is a stud. Gonna have to pay him. Yeah, you're gonna have to pay him. You're gonna have to pay Kamario Taylor. Gonna have to pay Fluff Bothwell. Gotta pay him. It is what it is. That was TJ. I agree. That is a soft late hit call, and that was a big play. So, you know, you had a chance to get off the field there, but that was a rough one. That was like, if he doesn't extend his arms, I think they don't call it, but he does kind of give a little shove, and that's all they needed. That's all they needed to have happen there. So, oh well. All right. Thunder and Lightning tomorrow. As you know, things that are true, tell them Falk. And of course, coffee is for closers. Got some real good options for who's not getting any coffee this week. Next week, obviously, is the bye week. The bye week blitz is coming. I've already lined up. We're going to talk to Coach Jans. We're going to talk to Coach Purcell, and I'm very excited. Earlier this year, I talked to Blake Shapen. I talked to Josh Hubbard. Let's bring it to baseball now. We're going to talk to Ace Reese later this week. That interview will be up on Friday's Thunder and Lightning podcast feed. So very much looking forward to that. Appreciate you guys joining me in my humble abode for tonight's Thunder and Lightning post game, and I will talk to you guys again tomorrow. Appreciate you, as always, joining me here on a late Saturday evening. This is Thunder and Lightning Postgame Live, presented by Paul Davis Restoration and Stones Jewelry. Talk to you guys again tomorrow.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.